When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to BGN Radio with Brandon Lee Gowton and Jimmy Kemsky.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? This is BGN Radio episode number 200, the big 200. With me, as always, is Brandon Lee Gowton of BleedingGreenNation.com. I am James Bradley Kemsky from PhillyVoice.com. AKA Jimmy Kemsky. We had practice number 7 at Eagles training camp today. Short practice, only about hour 25 minutes, something like that. And there were like 6 or 7, older Eagles players that, got a maintenance day, for the second time in 7 practices, by the way. So, notes filled practice today. But we're going to answer a few questions that some of you asked on Twitter and as well on reviews. And, we will go over what we did see today. So Brandon, what's going on?
JBK, nice to see you again for the second time today, since I saw you earlier at practice. Before we get into today's show, I wanted to mention that BGN Radio brought to you by Right to Sell and Craft Jerky, which you can get by going to righttoselling.com and using discount code BGN15 for 15% off. Jimmy, now you said there wasn't a lot of exciting stuff to get to, but I mean, you didn't actually say that. You said it wasn't notes filled, but there was some stuff. And I'm going to start off with my biggest takeaway.
Okay.
Right from the jump on Wednesday. I had to double check the date, you know, cause losing track of the days here. And that was the play of the day, which, spoiler alert, this will be my play of the day pick, but it was John Tyhauer. I'm really tired, you can tell. making a leaping catch down the left sideline on a pass from Jalen Hurts. As we know from Jalen Hurts throwing down the field, he does a good job of kind of floating the ball up there, letting the receiver make a play on it. And that's exactly what Hightower did. It was a tough catch. He managed to not only take control of the ball or hold control of the ball while also staying in bounds. But I think I set that up wrong. He did all those things. So he did all that, and that was really good. And Zach McPherson had good coverage, I thought, too, on that play. It wasn't like it was poorly defended. It was a good contest. It's just that Hightower made an even better catch. So that was my biggest takeaway. That was the play of the day.
Yeah, he went up and high-pointed that very nicely. And he got off to, in my opinion, a bad start to camp. But the last 2 days, he's made a few plays. So good on John Hightower for turning things around a bit. My first note will be on a guy that we haven't mentioned, I don't think really at all, throughout training camp yet, and that is rookie linebacker or hybrid safety or whatever you want to call him. I guess he's only been playing linebacker, but Jacoby Stevens had a few nice moments today. On one series, he knifed through the line of scrimmage on a running play for a tackle for loss. And then on that same series, it was like 2 or 3 plays later, he intercepted, I believe it was Jalen Hurts.
Yep.
On a throw over the middle. I believe it was intended for Greg Ward, and Jacoby Stevens jumped, made a nice catch, and had the interception. So first time we've really mentioned him, which can be, depending on how you look at it, like we haven't seen him noticeably get burned or trucked or anything like that. So, maybe not standing out sometimes isn't the worst thing, but it is the first time that we've mentioned him that I can recall.
It's also the first time he's been with the first team defense with the linebackers mm-hmm. there. So, I think more exposure there. He did have that interception. Although I want to say on that pick, I've seen Jalen Hurts now a couple of times, like throw to linebackers that he seemingly doesn't even realize are there, like just directly to them.
Yeah, so, TJ Edwards was another one, I believe.
That was on Saturday.
Yeah.
So he's done that a couple of times now. And now, in fairness to him, he did have a good rep I saw today, Jalen Hurts, now, where he purposely like threw the ball a little too high over the middle to Greg Ward. Mm-hmm. So like only he could get it, and the linebacker wouldn't even have a chance of picking that off. And Greg Ward did make the catch. So, you know, maybe kind of making an adjustment there, and that's good to see. But also just kind of filing that away. Like, is Jalen Hurts going to have an issue with not seeing linebackers? I don't know if that's like not being able to see over the line of scrimmage or what, but like it's just kind of weird. It's just like he doesn't even recognize they're there.
I don't know if it could be that, but maybe it's also he is aware they're there, but just isn't doing a good enough job getting the ball over them. Like maybe in college, it was, you know, you didn't have guys that are as athletic at the linebacker position, you know, in college that you do in the pros. And he's got to just do a better job of making sure he gets it over that second level of the defense to his receivers down the field. So whatever it is, he's got to get that corrected. I don't know. Like it's certainly possible that he isn't seeing them. I don't know how he could have missed Jacoby Stevens because he was just kind of right there. It wasn't like he disguised anything. I had a pretty good view of that play. But anyway, what is your next takeaway? Your takeaway?
No, that was just kind of adding context, I guess, more to, right. to your point. I was hiding maybe one of my takeaways within yours so then I can say mine and have an extra one. It's a savvy move by me.
That is.
One of the big things, the other thing, so I put John Hightower in my headline at my practice notes at WeedingGreenNation.com, which you can read for the full scoop, in addition to Jimmy's at PhillyVoice.com. The other thing I led with was Jalen Reagor getting an earful from, apparently, I didn't see Kevin Petullo, the passing game coordinator, talk to him. You saw that. I saw you say that on Twitter and then in your notes. But I saw Nick Sirianni like really get after him. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was on a running play. In any case, it was 11-on-11 rep, and it was early in practice, too. And now, I've seen Sirianni get animated with some of these players before. I think I just talked about that yesterday with Travis Fulgham. All right, I have a video of that, if not, on Twitter. And this was, like, a little bit extra, though. Like, Sirianni was, like, really mad. Like,
I haven't seen – I'll take it even a step further. Sorry to interrupt, but I haven't seen a coach yell at a player like that since Andy.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, he was on him, and he was like, you know, pointing to, like, he was like, you know,
a head coach. That is, I've seen plenty of assistants get after their players, but I've never seen a head coach yell at a player like that.
Yeah, and Sirianni was really, really on him, and I saw Jalen Reagor kind of like trying to, I guess, explain himself or talk back a little bit. Like Jalen Reagor was like pointing at something, and I guess trying to explain whatever he thought. But Sirianni really wasn't having it, and he was just really like chewing him out. So I think that's kind of a good thing on one hand, in terms of I think maybe some tough love could do Jalen Reagor good, because I think he might need a reality check sometimes and a humbling. At the same time, maybe not the best thing to have your 2020 first round pick who hasn't been having a good camp. And again, like still has yet to really stand out in any meaningful kind of way other than like those one-on-one reps I think he had on Saturday or Monday or whatever. Like outside of that, you know, we just haven't seen a lot of good from him. And you're seeing this kind of stuff, and it's maybe not the most encouraging thing.
The other takeaway I have on that too is, and we mentioned this previously, but I think there was some concern maybe that Nick Sirianni was just going to kind of be like a rah-rah guy and wasn't going to be able to get after his players, or, you know, I guess we wondered if he would do that or not. And he's done it repeatedly. So the idea that he's just kind of going to be a pushover, I think we can probably put that to bed.
So I've seen some people say that when I've like tweeted out these clips of him being fired up. And I mean, I can only speak for myself. But
pushover in terms of the players. I think he might be a pushover in other areas.
Okay. Yeah. My that was never my worry. My worry has always been like this intensity is going to wear on people over time. You know, like this is his first camp. There's a lot of, you know,
that's fair.
You're going to have that leeway, but I wonder how it's going to do, you know, if the season starts to go badly,
right.
You know, and then,
is that messaging like, going to go sour? Like we assumed that was all going to happen with Joe Judge last year.
Yes. And maybe he'll adjust. I'm not saying, you know, it's definitely going to be bad. That's just my question. That's what I'm looking for. I was never really worried about him like being too soft on his players, but, you know, he's energy, but it is good to see. I do like that. And I think there is something to like maybe with Doug and the last coaching staff, they let things slip, and I don't think this coaching staff is going to let things slip.
Okay. My turn?
Yep.
All right, so I'm going to go back to Zach McPherson, who we have discussed quite a bit recently. As you noted yesterday, he had at least four pass breakups, and he had another really strong day today, in my opinion. Just, again, I mentioned in the last podcast, he's a really physical player, And beyond that, like, he also just knows what he's doing, and he's always in the right spot. And there was a play today. It looked like some kind of like misdirection type of play, but it was a design pass to the running back, who in this case was Boston Scott. And McPherson wasn't fooled at all, and he actually put himself in a position to just lay a kill shot on Scott as he caught the ball. Pulled up at the last second, so like he didn't, you know, crush his teammate. But if that were a real game, like whatever running back that was would have been laid out. And like he got a pretty strong reaction on that play from Rodney McLeod, who was standing like right there on the sideline, and Darius Slay and a few other of the Eagles defensive backs that were watching. He got a big reaction from those guys. So he's a young player, isn't playing like a young player. I think he's a savvy kid, and I don't think he's going to start or anything like that. It's going to be Slay and Steve Nelson, and Avante Maddox will play in the slot. McPherson has like inside-outside versatility. Like that's one of the big things that was mentioned about him in pretty much any you know, sort of like draft, like scouting report that you would see on him. I don't think he's going to play in the slot at all this year. I think he's going to be your backup at outside corner if Slay or Nelson goes down. And I think that Josiah Scott will be the second guy up in the slot if Maddox were to go down. But if they hadn't signed Steve Nelson, two things. One, he would clearly be the leader in the clubhouse, and by a pretty wide margin, in my opinion, to be the starter opposite Slay. And two, I think that also we wouldn't be feeling so horrible about that possibility too, because he has like he's been a young star of this camp so far.
ZMP took the first team reps at outside cornerback. We should note with Darius Slay resting today. So that was a good sign too, because previously it was Michael Jacquet who was getting that look the last time Darius Slay had a rest day. So it seems like he definitely like earned, you know, his way into working with the first team defense, which is good to see.
Yep.
I just think he's looked solid in coverage, and I haven't seen any issues against the run either. I think he had another play today where he kind of met Miles Sanders on a run to the edge for what would have been just like a short game. He had lined up perfectly, and the defense liked that too. I think Avante.
Yeah, he got some kudos for that as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So like he's just like you're saying, like, so not in addition to being physical, it seems like he's playing smart. Like he knows where to be. So that's really good. And I think it's kind of interesting to think back of where, McPherson was talked about like heading into the draft. It seemed like there were a lot of people all over, like a lot of, some people loved him, some people thought like he wasn't like a top 200 prospect or whatever, or top one whatever, like, so kind of interesting how like opinions on him were just like all over the place leading into the draft.
You know what is weird about that though, because he was like the guy that my understanding is like that all the Eagles personnel people were like on board with. So like in the same way that everyone was on board with Miles Sanders during that draft, like from the front office to the coaching staff to the analytics nerds and everyone else, it was sort of the same situation as far as I understand with McPherson during this draft. So take that for what it's worth.
So no Tom Donahoe, you know,
right?
Really, being really mad about the pick.
Unlike Milton Williams, yeah.
moving on to Miles Sanders, which is my next point, Jimmy, here. Another drop today. Now, you know, it's a drop. It's one practice, but it's not just one practice, because he had a drop yesterday and he had another one last week, at least another one. And there might have been even one more or two. And it's just not great. I mean, we've seen him working on his hands, like he's been doing that with Jamal Singleton when the rest of the team is doing special teams drills. And I don't think I said this, but I wrote it in my notes the other day. Like, that's nice to see, because some players who don't contribute on special teams, like starters, are kind of just like chilling.
Yeah, they hang out. Yeah.
Which is, you know, whatever. But like Miles Sanders like isn't just chilling. Like, he's trying to actually do stuff to get better. I've seen him work on his hands. I've seen him work on his route running with Jamal Singleton. So, you know, I don't want to knock Miles Sanders for his effort here. And we literally saw him on the jugs machine to me before practice. We walked in and he was right there working on his hands. But just haven't seen that pay off yet. And today's drop was like especially bad, I wrote, because it was like a short check down. And like no one, it was thrown to him in stride on his hands, and there was no defenders like around him at all. Yeah. So I don't know if it's like a mental thing or what, but like that has to be fixed. I saw some people in my replies after I tweeted about that drop, Jimmy, about, and maybe I'm just paying victim of paying attention to my replies, but I saw some, but I think there's some thought out there that like, oh, it doesn't really matter a ton if he's not good at catching the ball, if he's as dangerous as he is as a runner.
Oh, yes, it is. That at all. Oh, that's a bad argument if people are saying that.
It's a huge deal. I mean,
yeah.
Like,
it's a passing league. can he be a good runner and carve out a nice NFL career and not catch a lot of football? Sure. Can he be like next level kind of player? Like, I don't want to say like Marshall Faulk or something like that, or like Brian West, can be a player like that. If he can become more complete, and we look at what he was as a rookie, he's done it. Like he has shown that he can catch. And we saw like how, like, dynamic he was that rookie season, and he wasn't running that well, especially early in the season. So you can put all that stuff together, and he could be, like, is this over the top to say that he can be, like, borderline top five back if he puts it all together? So
I think
if he doesn't...
pass catching ability, yeah.
If he doesn't, he's, like, borderline top half of the league back, if that. It's a big deal. You gotta be able to catch the football if you're a running back in this league, and you want to, you know, be sort of at the top of your game and at the top of the league. And he's got the potential. And as you mentioned, he has the want to be really good. But like you also mentioned, we haven't seen the results yet during camp. But long way to go.
Long way to go. I will say too that like it's not just about this year. Like this year, you can say, okay, well, it doesn't matter if he catches the ball or not because they have some other pass catching running backs on the roster, like Boston Scott or Kerryon Johnson or Kenny Gainwell or whoever. If you want to even throw Jason Huntley in there, even though he might not be the best, but like they have other options. Well, okay, they're taking him off the field though. Like that's not great.
Right.
And also, like if we're talking about long term extension, there's like 0% chance the Eagles are signing him to a long term deal. If he's not a pass catcher, like that's just,
yes,
that's a deal.
Breaker. I agree with
it's
that.
Like,
yep.
There's zero chance. Like he has to prove that to kind of be a long-term kind of, I mean, I, you know, you have to wonder about how they're going to sign him if/how they're going to sign him to a long-term deal anyway, just how they don't love to pay running backs and put a lot of high resources into them in general. But I mean, if the pass catching isn't there, that's a deal breaker. So hopefully, you know, for Miles' sake, that turns around. Cause again, I think he deserves it. Like he's working. I see him working at it.
Yeah. I respect it for sure.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see if that changes. What's your next thing?
Well, let's take a break. And
good call. But not before we hear about Kristen Roach of Roach Realtors. What's the phone number, Jimmy?
It is 856.
Wow.
856-906-9295. Actually, can I tell a quick Kristen Roach story?
Yeah, but it has to be in 30 seconds.
It's not going to be in 30 seconds. Okay. We'll do it at the end. Back after this.
Back here on BGN Radio episode 200, Jimmy cut me off before I could plug Right to Sell Craft Jerky, which you can get by going to righttosell.com using discount code BGN15 for 15% off. Also, same discount code at wildnaturepet.com for dog treats discounts. Jimmy, I think I'm kind of wrapped up here, but I guess, do you have anything left?
Yeah, I'll mention Davion Taylor, who, you know, we mentioned in the first few practices how many reps he was getting, particularly with the first team. Got slowed a little bit, had a quad injury, did return to the field on Tuesday, but he left practice early. I figured it was just his quad again, but we found out today at the start of practice that it was a new injury. It's a calf injury, and he's going to be out. Like he's week to week, which means it's a significant enough injury that's going to keep him out for a while. And that's a bummer because if there's somebody that needs as many reps as possible, it's him because as an inexperienced player who, in my opinion, struggled as a rookie in terms of like his instincts and that kind of thing. He needs all the reps he can get so he can at least he has to be at least a playable player in 2021. Cause if he's not, then he's not going to get reps during the regular season and he's never going to get better. So this is the time to at least show that he can get on the field in some way during the season this year. Otherwise, it'll be a wasted season for him. Now, I'm not saying this is going to be a wasted season because he has a calf injury in training camp. But if that's the guy that you don't want missing a big portion of training camp, like it doesn't matter that Brandon Brooks is out for a while. In my opinion, it doesn't matter that much that Devontae Smith is out, because I think, you know, we think he can play. But for a guy like Davion Taylor that hasn't played a lot of football, you really wanted him to get a lot of reps. And I think they prioritized getting him a lot of reps in training camp. And unfortunately for him, he's going to miss out on some.
Yeah, that's pretty disappointing. I have a couple things, I guess, leftover notes. One, a lot of Travis Fulgham talk today, Jimmy, after he talked at practice today. And the explanation that he gave for losing reps last year was that Alshon Jeffery was healthy again. So a lot of people reacted to that. I guess we don't have to dig that whole thing up because we've talked about this a lot before.
Yeah.
The one thing I wanted to say on it, though, is that like everyone is crushing Doug for that. And look, I'm not going to say the coaching staff doesn't deserve blame, but I always go back to he shouldn't have even been on the roster. There was no good reason for Alshon Jeffery to be on the roster for the coaches to have him to play. So no, we're not washing the front office's hands clean of that entirely. Like, come on, give me a break with that. That's what I had on that. And then I had another thing, but I can't
remember. Started to get a little heated there.
Well, it's just like, oh, it's all Doug. Well, it's just like, because it's like, it's Doug's fault, and now he's gone, and everything is fixed. Well, it's like, no, like the front office contributed to that too. Like, and they're still here, which is, you know, a whole different topic. Real quick on Jacoby Stevens, I forgot to mention, really impressive interview. Like, it's fun to listen to him talk. Like, he's very thoughtful, insightful. It seems like a smart kind of player, smart kid, smart player. I heard a lot about that, like reading a lot about him. At In the Valley Shook, which is SB Nation's LSU blog, they had a lot of like really nice things, like a lot of high praise for him. So that's kind of nice to see. I think that's it. I had something else to me while you were talking, and I just can't remember what it was because I'm.
I feel really like bad. Tommy was very high on Jacoby Stevens coming out, if I recall.
I think Tommy
Tommy Lawler, that is.
I think Tommy posted something of someone who thought like Jacoby Stevens was like one of the best defensive prospects in the entire class. Remember
him, that may be what I'm thinking of. Yeah, okay, that's what I'm thinking of.
It wasn't like some totally like it was someone who has like somewhat respect, like it wasn't just like some total rando. It was someone who has like, you know, opinions on the draft, and I think we can all say it's probably a little too bullish. But like, you know, it was like interesting to see at the very least.
It wasn't Jacoby Stevens' mom.
No, I don't think so.
All right.
Jimmy, we have some questions to get to here because I tell you, people that listen to this, and thank you for everyone who has listened and sent us the nice words with the hashtag shrimpy safeties that we asked for on Tuesday. So first, we'll just start off from a question on Twitter, Jimmy. This is from Okami_Senpai_88. Who's the biggest surprise to you guys in camp so far, and has anyone come out of nowhere to impress?
I don't mean to give a stock answer here, but I'd say Tyree Jackson has impressed me more than I thought he would. I thought that he was probably going to be you'd see him, you'd notice that there's a 6'7" dude out there and he's impossible to miss, but I didn't think we'd actually see a lot of plays out of him, but we have. What was the second part of the question?
They kind of went hand in hand. It was like the biggest surprise and has anyone come out of nowhere?
Okay. I wouldn't say he came out of nowhere because we all sort of knew he was there. As far as coming out of nowhere, I would say in that department, I can't think of anyone. And maybe it's just because I'm close to the team and I, you know, like I...
Flex.
Well, you know what I mean. Like, it's my job. And, like, I cover these. I have to know all the players on the. I have to know something about all the players on the team. But I don't have any good examples for that.
I mean, I would say
maybe Jason Huntley.
Okay, but you had him on your 53-man roster, so
I did. Right.
I would say Zach McPherson for me, kind of coming out of nowhere.
Okay.
I mean, like, obviously I knew who he was, but as a 4th-round pick, but like, still, he's a day 3 pick, and he was kind of forgotten about in the sense that. All the hype going into camp was the Eagles signing Steven Nelson. So, you know, Zach McPherson was kind of an afterthought at that point. Whereas, you know, and if they hadn't signed Steve Nelson, like we talked about, he would have been in the mix. And now the benefit of hindsight would be in the front runner position.
I wonder if his camp would have gone differently if the pressure were on him.
I wonder. Well, here's a question I have for you. I was thinking about it this way, too. Like, when is the last time we've seen an Eagles rookie cornerback look really good?
I would say Jalen Mills.
Okay.
And he wound up being a starter for, I mean, a lot of people don't like what they saw from Jalen Mills over the course of his career. I think Jalen Mills is going to age well. I think he's going to be remembered more fondly and fondly as we sort of get away from the Jalen Mills era. But he looked very good in his initial camp as a seventh-round pick out of LSU. So that would be my answer for him. But beyond him...
Mm-hmm. Not a lot. It's 5 years ago, too.
Yeah.
So it's been a while. So I'd definitely put that there. This has been really encouraging what we've seen from him. So I'm going to say that's my answer for that. Although I do definitely agree with Tyree Jackson as, like, I thought he was going to kind of come in and, like, maybe flash here and there, but just kind of be too raw just because... This is his first offseason moving from quarterback to tight end. And it's just for, like, given how natural it's been for him, I think that's legitimately surprising.
He got yelled at today too, by the way.
Nice.
It was lined up and he was like reshuffling it. Like, he was resetting his feet, but he did it while another receiver was already in motion. So two guys were moving at the same time. And then while that other guy was moving, they snapped the ball. So they would have been flagged for illegal motion on that. And, Sirianni came over and gave him an earful for that, but not to the extent that he did Jalen Rager. So anyway, moving on.
What's the next question? Comes from Mario Cap, who is a great Apple Podcast rating and reviewer. So Mario Cap does something that listeners, you should know that, like, if you want to leave a new review or update review, you can. You don't have to just, like, leave one and never do it again. Mario Cap continually, like, changes his review to ask new questions and stuff or say things.
Okay.
And we appreciate the constant feedback. So Mario asks, what would Jalen Hurts have to do to keep his job for 2022? He kind of listed a bunch of, like, stats that he might have to hit or whatever. I mean, I'm just going to answer this because I've said it a billion times. I'm just going to repeat my answer, is that I think he has to leave no doubt. I think it has to be a clear feeling.
Yeah.
I think I've heard it described before as, like, Jalen Hurts has to be, like, the best option to the team. And I just don't think he's going to be, if you're looking at it that way, because they're going to have ammo to move on in terms of, you know, trading for someone or whatever. I really just think it's a very high bar to clear. And again, based on what we've seen in training camp, I don't have the utmost confidence that he is on the path to clearing that bar right now. That can change. I'm not saying it's impossible it happens, but right now I'm not feeling that way. I feel like you're on the same page, no?
So it's a common question that I get when I do my chats. And normally, like, it'll be accompanied with, you know, some sort of yardage marker or some sort of, like, tight end or touchdown interception ratio or completion percentage or whatever. And I don't think it's any of that. I think you'll just kind of know it when you see it.
Yep.
Like, and so I don't want to, like, you know, name some sort of stat because, you know, stats can lie too. Like, you know, we all remember the quote unquote last seven games of Sam Bradford, the last three games of Sam Bradford. And, like, he put up a lot of BS stats that season and we all knew that he wasn't the answer. So, you know, Jalen Hurts could wind up putting up big stats and not be the answer, or he could put up stats that don't look, you know, necessarily great on paper, but, you know, may make the case that he should be the quarterback in 2022 based on the way that he played, and the way that, you know, teammates rally around him or whatever it may be. But the very boring but still very true answer is A, you'll know it when you see it, and B, as Brandon said, it's got to leave no doubt, because if there is any doubt at all, they have these, you know, they're two first round picks now, and probably maybe a high two from the Colts and a high two of their own to go ahead and address the quarterback position that they won't have a year from now, presumably. So if he leaves any doubt, that's going to be their number one priority next offseason.
I guess real quick, I'll say, like, having those extra picks maybe gives you confidence to trade an even another first, let's say, like, 2023, if you have to, you know, like, because you have extra ammo this year. So it's not just about having those picks, but maybe the confidence. Like, if you really want a quarterback, you're going to, you know, trade to whatever it takes to get him. And I think they have that ammo regardless of the first or the second, what you're getting from the Colts. One quick thing on Hurts, too, since you mentioned Sam Bradford. I don't want to say that, you know, I'm not trying to compare the players, but in terms of, like, guys who aren't established answers and, like, could be very short-term pieces, but, like, Eagles fans are talking themselves into them because they're here and they're the starting quarterback and you want to believe, I'm thinking about to a time where many people did talk themselves into Sam Bradford. So I feel like no matter who the Eagles quarterback is, sometimes like there's always going to be people talking themselves into that person. And that's fine. Like if you want to do that, that's your choice. But I'm just saying like maybe keep that in perspective and like not everyone is going to work out.
The Sam Bradford people were the worst. Like the Jalen Hurts people, by all means, like but go ahead and root for the kid. I'm with you. Like I think he could be a fun player to watch too, but I got no love for the Sam Bradford people.
All right. Jimmy put his
just kidding to those of you who are Sam Bradford people, but like me and, okay. and Brandon and the podcast.
So this one.
Keep listening and reading and everything else. Sorry.
Thank you for clearing that up, Jimmy. This one comes from Apple Podcasts. It is Brandon Brooks is the username.
Okay.
And the headline is The Other Brandon Brooks. I'm a diehard Eagles fan. My name is Brandon Brooks, which is kind of cool to have a player with the same name on my favorite team. Love the show. Wondering if you can find out why/if Brandon Brooks had Robert tattooed on his arm. That's my middle name, so wondering what it means to him. So I guess we'll have some homework to do.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know the answer to that.
But I wanted to read this because that's really funny. Like, not only the same name, but also like somehow or like Brandon Brooks has this tattoo that says Robert, and that's Brandon Brooks, the listener's middle name. So that's kind of interesting.
Maybe that's been covered, or maybe somebody out there just knows. So if you know, hashtag Brandon Robert Brooks, tag us and give us the answer.
Okay. We'll see. We'll see. The last one I had, Jimmy, here is from Totoro on Apple Podcasts, 5-star rating and review, which you can leave, and we'll read your question as well when we get to it. Who is an Eagles player? Everyone's hunting, or, oh man, there's some autocorrect error going on here. Let me find that. See, I wrote this out and did some very bad autocorrect. Who is an Eagle everyone's counting out that you believe will have a breakout season and a player everyone has making the team that you have getting cut? So number one, an Eagles player that everyone's counting out that you think will have a breakout season. Who is that?
I'm sorry. A Verizon guy was walking up to my door and I had to like point to my headphones and say, I can't come to the door right now. So I didn't hear. What was the question? Sorry about that. What was the question again?
Who is an Eagles player, Jimmy, that everyone's counting out that you think will have a breakout season?
Ah, okay.
Who's someone that you're higher on than everyone else, I guess?
I like that question. I think of a player that a lot of people are out on is Derek Barnett. So I think that Derek Barnett has been good at times, hasn't been able to stay healthy. And as you have mentioned each of the last couple years, like, this was, you know, it was going to be the first training camp that he enters healthy, or at least we thought it was going to be last training camp that he was going to enter healthy. We get there on day one. It turns out he's week to week with a new injury. So he's been healthy so far this year. If he can stay healthy, I think he can put up decent numbers. So that would be my guy. That would be the guy that I think can, you know, has been here a while. People aren't happy with his production over 4 years after being picked 14th overall, I think. And I think he's got a chance to do something this year, especially since he's got a lot to gain from it being in a contract year.
And then do you have a player who everyone else has making the roster, but you have them getting cut? I have an answer for that one.
Probably not. I think I have a guy that like the other writers are going to have on their roster, but I won't. But the fans would be maybe on my side on that one. And that'd be Jannard Avery. Do you have him on yours?
It's tough. I saw he had a nice little tackle for loss today. And Jonathan
he did. Ian He's
and,
been okay.
Dapped him up. So, and obviously the Howie factor too. So
Yeah. Maybe Nick Mullins. I think they're only going to keep two quarterbacks. I know there's some people that still like Jordan Howard. I have him off.
I think
I can't think of anyone else that's obvious. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say kind of Andre Dillard has been my player for this because I didn't have him on my 53 before training camp. I don't think he's going to get cut, but you know, I'm going to say he's going to get traded for something like little. So that I think that kind of counts in there. Cause I think everyone is assuming like they're just going to keep him anyway as a backup, which I don't necessarily agree with. And I don't think he deserves to be on the roster based on what we've seen. The other one, I think, that could make sense as kind of a surprise cut, if you want to put it that way, and it could be Marlon, or Mr. T, as Mike K calls him, Marlon Tuipulotu. I feel like he just hasn't gotten even a ton of reps. And when he has, I haven't really noticed him a lot.
Yeah.
And the Eagles are kind of like, depending on how they feel about their defensive tackles, like, because T.Y. McGill makes a play like every single day. And I don't know if they want to cut him. I know he's older, but like he's making plays every day.
Yeah.
They might just keep him around. And then they have Ridgeway, who they seemingly like, but it's kind of silly because he can't stay healthy. So I think Mr. T could be in jeopardy of being cut.
I'll say in fairness to Mr. T, it's hard to stand out as a defensive tackle. Even though we haven't noticed,
yeah, but he's not even getting reps though. To me, he's not even like I feel like getting a lot of looks, which is weird.
Yeah, and they have cut guys before. They have cut. Did Elijah Qualls get cut that first year?
Yes, he did. So did Nate Gary originally.
Mm-hmm. So
and Donna Humphrey should have been if he didn't. You know.
Yeah. 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 I can see that. I have him on.
I think I have one. That it took me a while to find. I'm going to go with Epsi. I'm going to go with Marcus Epps. I think he has a chance to, like...
He hasn't done anything yet.
I know, but, like... And I know you did his review last year, but... And it wasn't amazing. But I think everyone just assumes that Kayvon Wallace is going to be, like, ahead of him on the depth chart. And that wasn't the case last year. And both of those guys are still rotating right now. So, I don't know. I think Epps, there might be something to his game. I don't feel like, you know, amazing about this pick, but I think...
He's a guy that can surprise in a positive way?
Yeah, it's not like, I don't know if he's going to have a breakout year, but I think he could be like, you know, a quality third safety. Maybe he fills in for a little bit if Rodney McLeod misses more time or whatever. But yeah, I'm going to go with him. Because I think in this description, people are counting him out. Because I think people are going with Wallace or just kind of even forgetting about him altogether.
When I did his player review, by the way, like it was at a time where I'd written sort of a couple negative articles, like one after the next, and I was looking for, trying to find like something positive. And because Pro Football Focus had him rated as like
it's very high,
12th best safety or something like that in the NFL. And he was sandwiched in between guys like Buda Baker and Harrison Smith. So like, you know, it caught my eye and, you know, I'm skeptical of PFF, of course, but they had him rated that high, so I took a look, and you know, after, and I saw nothing. I saw, whatever they saw, I didn't see it, and I wound up writing mostly negative stuff about poor Epsi, even when I was looking for, you know, somebody to write something positive about. But I'm with you; like, he does have some appealing traits. Like, he does have ball skills.
He had a decent number of too.
He had a decent number of pass breakups. Profile. In the limited action that he had last year, he had a couple picks. So
he led the team in interceptions, I think, last
year. Oh, did he?
Yeah, I think so.
That is so sad.
Yeah, I know.
All right, we got any more?
That's it, but let's wrap up with MVP, LVPs, and play of the day real quick.
I have the same play of the day as you, so we can we can just...
Hightower.
Yeah, John Hightower, leaping grab near the sideline. Who's your MVP?
Well, I'm going to go with LVP because I think I need more time at MVP.
Okay.
My LVP is Jalen Reagor because he got a talking to. And yeah, I mean, I kind of explained it earlier why I think that can be both a good thing and a bad thing.
Yeah, I don't think anyone really had a terrible day. So I guess by default, because he did get reamed out, I'll also go with Jalen Reagor.
For my MVP, and this is what I wanted to mention earlier, but I couldn't think of it at the time. I'm going to give it to Dallas Goedert because Dallas Goedert was pretty active today, had a number of nice catches, and it was nice to see, specifically for me, who was kind of questioned how this Jalen Hurts to tight ends connection is going to work, which I think has looked good in training camp, by the way, so far. And Jalen Hurts to Goedert was money. Goedert had a tough catch along the sideline. Hurts hit Goedert in the red zone 11-on-11 a couple times. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Dallas Goedert.
Goedert has kind of gotten to the don't write about him status in training camp because everyone already knows all about him. I'll go with Jacoby Stevens for my MVP of the day for the reasons already stated.
Well, that does it for BDN Radio episode 200. Sorry it wasn't like a more amazing show in terms of being this big, you know, fantastic, you know, thing. But we appreciate you.
I don't think anyone cares.
Well, Jimmy, how dare you? BGN Radio has been around since 2013, Jimmy. It's been a long time. This is our ninth Eagles season of the podcast. So it's been going around a long time, obviously.
And of course, there are a lot more episodes than 200.
Yes, I was going to say, if you're a newer listener and you're like, wait, why are there only 200 episodes then? Well, that's a whole nother story for another time. But since the relaunch, we have 200. Back, that was August 2018, since we relaunched BGN Radio. And we thank you all for riding with us. And that's it for today's show. So for Jimmy Kemsky and Twitter at Jimmy Kemsky, for Brandon Lee Gouton on Twitter at Brandon Gouton, check out my work at BootingYourNation.com. Check out Jimmy's work at PhillyVoice.com. Check out Right to Sell and Craft Jerky by going to RightToSell.com using discount code BGN15 for 15% off. And rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff, because we will be back with you here again on Thursday afternoon after the Eagles' final practice before a break, an off day, this Friday, August 6th. So one more day of a daily podcast for you until then. They have off on Friday and return on Saturday. So bye.
Goodbye, everybody.
BGN.